Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Trash Mix Podcast. It is now February, and there's like one holiday, right? Or two, technically. Right?
Yeah, I guess technically two. But
it's almost Valentine's Day. It's the, you know, the holiday where you celebrate with your loved one or your spouse or your girlfriend on the side. Or the girl that you just can't get. You know, there's a girl that you want to get so badly, so you're just trying to figure out what to get for Valentine's. And, yeah. So this episode is like a themed with that kind of topic. It's like love. It's like love that you can't get or you're trying to get. And then there's love that's forbidden. In other words, you know, there's just a bunch of cheaters in this movie. In the one of the movies, that is. One movie is about, you know, what is it? What's that word I'm looking for? It's like unrequited love.
Or, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So yeah, we're going to talk about a movie from 1990 called Un Corazón Para Dos. And then 1993's Mujeres Infieles.
Yeah, we want to cover the whole spectrum of love, right? Yeah, yeah. The enamorados, the románticos, and then the fucking the tóxicas and the tóxicos who just want to cheat around and fuck around, you know?
Yeah,
something that I think most people can relate to. You know, I know I can. That's
And then these are actually really good movies. You know, each one is different in a good way. You know, but one of them is probably like the most entertaining that we both admire the most.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll get to it when we get to it, but that movie was fucking dope. And, you know, like you said, both movies are good movies, but, you know, I guess it just depends on the level of, I hate using the word cheesy, but I guess it depends on your level of melodramatic that you can take is whether or not you'll enjoy the first movie.
Yeah, it's one of those sappy movies you can just watch with your girlfriend or your wife, whatever, or your family even, because it's really more of a family movie, if anything, when you think about it.
Well, that's one thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit, because I'm curious if this was a Televisa movie that played on Televisa, like an original for them.
Yeah.
Or if they just had the like the TV rights and own it now.
It was from Televisina. So Televisina was when they were making all those movies back in the day. So yeah, this is family themed and made by the Galindo family. This is Un Corazón Para Dos from 1990, directed by Sergio Bejar and then written by Kiki Galindo. Kiki Galindo was the, I always forget, she's either the niece or she's the granddaughter of Ruben Galindo. You know, she's part of the whole family, Kiki Galindo. And then she also used to draw the poster art when she was younger.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
And then her father is Daniel Galindo, who's one of the producers.
The producer,
So it was a Galindo family production.
And I, you know, looking into her credits, I mean, she worked almost exclusively with Sergio Bejar. Like, I mean, I think other than I saw she only had 11 credits. I mean, I don't know if that's the only thing she has, but
I believe that's it. Yeah.
But out of those 11, I think 9 of them were with that were directed by Sergio Bejar.
Yeah. And with Daniel, her father, of course.
Exactly. Yeah. As the producer. Yeah. They, you know, it's kind of like a little, I mean, this is the same thing that we've said since literally episode one of this podcast is that Mexican movies are a kind of family affair. Yeah, you know, it's like you stick with your little clica, you know?
Yeah. And Sergio Bejar, I mean, he's pretty familiar with this kind of topic of film. It's like very romantic and very like, you know, melodramatic and sad and like heart-wrenching. So he was making movies like that, but he also made some pretty crazy movies. I think the one he's most known for is Mariposas Disecadas. I believe he did that one. I'm not too sure if he did.
Yeah, and then I mean
he did a lot of stuff, like just crazy stuff. Yeah,
I mean he worked with like the Tigres del Norte. He's fucking, you know, did a lot of like the thriller action type movies.
He did direct Mariposas Disecadas. And that's probably his most disturbing movie, if anything. Like, I mean, we'll probably talk about it in a future episode. But
it's
fucking crazy. Una Vez en la Noche from 1971. Yeah, he did a lot of really, like, intense movies. Like, with topics of, like, incest and, like, yeah, just crazy shit like that. But he was very also into romantic stuff as well.
I mean, yeah, you know. A la prima se arrima, as they say in Mexico, you know.
So he's a pretty prolific director behind this little movie from 1990.
And he started off as a camera operator in the
40s. He was a camera operator, and then he went on to direct, like, during the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I think his first directing movie was, like, in 1963 or something like that. And then from there on, he was just a director up until his final movie in 1999.
Yeah, very unique filmography, like I said. So there's always something different from him. It's never really always the same stuff. It's always something different. Same cast, though. It'll always be, it's like he worked with a lot of the same actors over the years.
I mean, that's typical, right? I mean, it even happens to this day. You know, you find your cast and crew that you know how to churn and burn movies, and you're just like, fuck it, let's move on to the next one.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think that's a good segue into, you know, who the cast is in this movie, because this movie actually has
a good cast.
A really good cast. It's pretty stacked. I mean, the second movie too is really stacked, but this movie. You know, it stars Pedro Fernandez, who, you know, we talked about in episode, which I think was the season two opener or the season one closer. I forgot, but it's, you know, you go back and you'll see it.
Yeah, we'll link it.
Who, of course, you know, like we just said, I mean, he had a crazy year in 1989, right? So you got Trampa Infernal, Vacaciones de Terror, Pánico en la Montaña, and then went into, Un Corazón para Dos, and then
2 years before this one, he worked with Bejar on, what's it called, Un Sábado Más.
Yeah, there you go.
With
Tatiana. And that's another connection to Vacaciones,
all connected again.
And of course, you know, after he makes this, he jumps right into Vacaciones de Terror 2. So it's like, this dude had like a crazy 3 year span of, you know, movies. And of course, you know, for those who don't know, who are first-time listeners, Pedro Fernandez was, you know, a child actor, child singer. So it's like, I mean, at this point of his career, he was like a fucking megastar. Like,
and he was doing music too. He was doing pop music.
Now. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Of course, we have the almighty Mario Almada, who, you know, we've talked about.
That took me by surprise.
You know, I will say, like, you know, I know when you hear the name Mario Almada, you don't think dramatic, like, you know, melodramatic roles, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he has.
Of course, yeah, but you think of him, you know, fucking shooting fools up, car chases and shit. But, you know, he has kind of a heavy role in this, and, you know, he doesn't underplay it. Like, you actually feel, like, his pain in this movie.
Yeah, so it's different for him here. He's no longer shooting anybody. He's like, just a grandpa.
Yeah, just a fucking...
the father figure of, you know, the Pedro Fernandez's character.
Yeah, we'll get into why, you know, how they're connected in a little bit, but... another actor in his, we have Jose Elias Moreno, who plays Padre Jose, who...
That guy was like, he was very busy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
In that whole era, he was very busy. Worked with the Galindos a lot, and then with Bejar a lot, too.
And, I mean, he was, you know, mainly a TV actor, did a bunch of novellas and TV movies and shit, but, like you said, he worked with Sergio Bejar previously. He was in Colmillos, El Hombre del Lobo, like,
all kinds of shit.
We have Daniela Leites, who plays the love interest, the main girl in this.
Yeah, her filmography is very short, but a lot of people still remember her. She's in a lot of TV mostly, but she didn't do a lot of movies.
Well, you think, I mean, like we've said previously, like, in, you know, the 80s into the 90s was like the boom of TV, like the novellas and the, you know, the TV movies and shit. So I think if you were in at least one like mega hit from that era, like, you're gonna be regarded, you know, because I mean, that's pretty much what everyone was watching at this time.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
But she was great, you know. She's like a, you know, unfortunate that she didn't have such a prolific career, because I did think she was a, you know,
that's what I thought
for
too.
What she is, like,
and then
a
that's
great
how
actress.
She was in. It's like, okay, mostly TV, and then she did one cheap video home with the vampire.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a horrible movie. I think I have it somewhere, but yeah, it's horrible.
We'll review it at some point. Yeah. And then you cut a couple cameos and shit, but I thought one of the funny cameos was Carmelita Gonzalez, who plays like a little love interest for Mario Almada's character.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know, everyone in this movie except for the priest was like in love with somebody. You know, there's like a little love story between everybody, but I mean, you know, she's another, you know, prolific actor, started in the golden age, you know, worked in lucha movies with Huracan Ramirez, and I think she did a Santo movie too, shit ton of novellas, fucking, you know.
A really good cast.
Yeah,
it's
really
like
good cast.
It's like very interesting.
And, you know, I guess the general plot of the movie is basically, you know, these two young adults who are secretly in love with each other.
They don't even know, that's the funny part. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think Bernardo, you know, obviously he wears his heart on his sleeve. He knows, like, he's, you know, he has like a relationship with the priest.
Oh, not the priest.
And that's like his confidant. He tells him everything. Yeah. You know? So he's the only one that really knows that Bernardo's in love with Valeria. But like I said, you know, Valeria, she has a boyfriend. So she doesn't know that she's into him until later in the movie. But yeah, they kind of, you know, they're best friends. You
they're
know,
very so. Close. Yeah, they're very chummy at times.
I mean, you think of, you know, how many times you've had like a best friend who's, a you know, the opposite sex. And, you know, look, eventually someone's going to get feelings, you know. Yeah. It's just, it is what it is, you know. I think, obviously, you know, guys and girls can, you know, be friends and not, you know, platonically, you know. Yeah. But
in this case, yeah,
it was in this not case, like it was not platonic. Yeah, for sure. But basically, you know, they have like, you know, they secretly love each other.
Yeah, every morning. They're both or every ill. Other morning, he gives her like a flower, remember? The little flowers and then home or whatever.
And this, it's almost like, this is like the Mexican version of Untamed Heart, but on steroids, you know? So the Untamed Heart fans will know what I mean. But it's, you know, they both have illnesses and one of them needs surgery to survive, and you know, is the other one gonna have the secretly have the surgery or not? You know, and everything kind of plays out from there. But
that's kind of where the title comes from, Un Corazón, which is a heart for two.
A heart for two, you know.
And yeah, it just happens. Bernardo needs a new heart. Oh no,
Valeria needs the heart. Yeah, but and, you know, it's like it, like you said, it starts off at this like, you know, huge, beautiful hacienda. And Valeria gets a card with a flower, and she's all like, ooh, it's my boyfriend, Javier, or whatever.
And like almost every morning or every other morning, she gets one.
Yeah, and her grandma's obviously, like, does not fuck with Javier. Like, he's like the he's like the shitty boyfriend that, like, the family hates, you know? But it's like, the girl can't tell that he's a shitty boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because her grandma's like, dude, it's not him. Like, you know, it's obviously not him. Yeah. It's somebody else.
¿Otra vez? No sé por qué te asombras. Desde hace mucho tiempo viene sucediendo esto todas las semanas.
Seguramente es Javier el que me las ha estado mandando.
No, yo no creo eso. Cuando aparecieron la primera vez, Javier ya era tu novio. No tenía para qué hacer eso. Además, el tal Javier ese no creo que...
Ana, tú no lo quieres, ¿verdad?
Bueno, pues si él te quiere a ti, yo lo quiero.
So it's just kind of funny to see that, you know, she's blindly in love with this fucking shitty guy when it's like the nice guy's right here. You're just giving her flowers fucking every day, writing her little love notes and shit. But yeah, I mean, it, you know, it, from there it kind of moves on because it's like almost like a, I don't want to say a love triangle because Javier and Bernardo are obviously kind of friends, you know, they're friendly
with each other. Yeah.
She, Valeria invites Bernardo over for dinner and he's kind of like, well, I don't know, like, is Javier going to get mad? You know, it's like the typical story, right? Your fucking, your girlfriend or boyfriend is, and like, why are you hanging out with that fool?
Yeah, and I think at one point the boyfriend was like, oh, maybe he likes you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he even points that out. Just like, I think he was kind of joking, but then kind of serious.
And then
she's just like, no, we're just very close friends, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know, it's kind of obvious. Throughout the whole movie, it's just too obvious.
Javier, si todavía no son las dos, llegaste temprano, ¿verdad? Ya, quítame tus manos.
Soy Bernardo.
Bernardo, qué bueno que viniste. No te esperaba.
Ya me di cuenta. A quien esperabas es a Javier. Yo venía a invitarte a comer, pero ni modo, tendré que comer solo.
Quédate a comer aquí, yo te invito.
Pero, bueno, acepto. Pero no hago mal tercio, ¿verdad?
¿Cómo dices eso? Javier sabe perfectamente que tú y yo somos buenos amigos.
Si tú lo dices. ¿Viste la película de anoche?
Sí, me encantó, pero lloré, como
siempre. Yo no la vi, cuéntamela.
Hola, Bernardo.
¿Qué tal?
Mi amor, ¿cómo te sientes?
Muy bien, gracias.
Yo te veo tan bonita como siempre. ¿No es así, Bernardo?
Sí, como siempre.
Well, you think it would be obvious, but it's like, for some reason, the only the grandma and the priest knew. It's just like, I mean, obviously, this dude is going over her house all the time. Like, he takes care of her because she's like almost bedridden, basically. She has this heart condition that keeps getting worse. And you know, he comes over, he's, you know, hangs out with her, stays at her house, fucking does little things for her. But we end up learning that Bernardo, I guess, so he's an orphan, you know, his parents died in a car accident that he was in.
And he suffers from migraines and like...
Yeah, he has like lingering effects from this car crash. But the only person that knows that is the priest. The priest, you know, he's for some reason he's keeping it a secret. And that's where we meet Don Francisco, who's played by Mario Almada, who just a lonely farmer. His wife, he's a widow as well. He fucking he's taking care of Bernardo and keeps saying, you know, go to school. You don't need to fucking work. Go to school and all that shit. And yeah, I don't know. It's like this developing. It's like a small little town where everyone's kind of like involved with each other. Because like I said,
it's a small town. Yeah.
He Don Francisco ends up meeting what was her name? Rosario. Like, you know, and they're like flirting in between the like scenes. And
yeah, between the scenes. Like, yeah, they're like hanging out in this town.
And then he has like a lady that's interested in, or his caretaker is like, I guess his maid or whatever. Yeah. Is like talking shit about her. Like, yeah. Man, she's fucking, she's old. Why are you messing with her? Yeah.
Like, they never say directly or make it, but it seemed like she was into him, if anything. She seemed like she was jealous.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone had like a tie-in. Like,
something,
his caretaker obviously, you know, had something towards this fool because she kept talking shit about Rosario.
Yeah.
A lo mejor no ha rezado con mucho fervor.
Ay, pero cómo no, don Francis. Mire, aquí lo tengo de cabecita con sus veladorcitas y sus moneditas.
Entonces no pierda las esperanzas, doña Rosario. A lo mejor hay alguien por ahí que quiera llevarla al tálamo nupcial.
Ay, don Francisco, ¿cómo será usted? ¿A mi edad?
No. No diga eso. Usted sigue siendo joven y bella. Madurona. Pero sabrosona.
¿Sabrosona? Uh-huh. Ay, pero qué cosas dice don Francisco.
¿Qué le pasa, doña Rosario?
Nada más yo sabré.
And then, you know, eventually... they throw like a big 65th birthday party for this fool. Of course, he invites her, and all the ladies there are like mad dogging her and shit. sorry, excuse me. But yeah, and then of course we finally learn that Valeria, and you know, she's we know she's sick, but we don't know what's going on. But then we learn, well, she needs a heart transplant. Like, her heart is giving out on her. And then there's like a super sappy scene between Bernardo and Valeria where they start telling each other, like, he finally admits to her that he's sick too. They're like sitting at this tree and it's all fucking nice and shit, you know, like they're having like a picnic or something. But she fucking friend zones that fool. He like tries to fucking mack it with her and she's just like, nah, sorry buddy, like,
yeah, she's just
the pain of every guy, you know.
Yeah, and then she's just going through more than, you know, that right now. She don't need that. She's gonna die. She don't know what she's gonna do.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the whole movie, she's kind of like, you know, she's pessimistic, of course. You know, she's, you know, doom and gloom. She thinks the world, you know, everything's gonna end. And of course, he's like the more, you know, glass half full type guy. And I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic to see them, you know, play off each other in that sense, I guess. But it just all kind of reminds me of like high school love, you know, where the dude is super into her. She friend zones this fool.
His friend, But eventually, as the movie progresses, you start to see like the feelings develop, or she's starting to realize, oh, you know, maybe I do like him. And then not until the end is like when you realize it's just too late.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, Bernardo obviously, he just is steadily getting worse. You know, finally goes to see a doctor and it's like, look, man, you gotta. Oh, that's another thing. It's like, he's losing his vision.
Yeah, he's losing his vision. He's getting those headaches still. They're getting progressively worse. And then, the doctor tells him he only has a certain amount of time left.
Yeah, they tell him once he loses his sight, he only has, I think it was like 6 months. I forgot what the doctor told him, but which is, you know, I've never heard of a fucking.
Yeah.
But, so he kind of finds peace with his situation and his health. And I think that's when he decides, you know what? Valeria needs a heart. He's gonna give up his fucking heart. He's gonna die sooner than her, so might as well give her a fighting chance. And you know, if that's not love, I don't know what is, man. If you're not willing to give your own heart to the girl that you love, the girl you're in love with, obsessed with, nah, then I don't want it. You know, you're not the one.
No, So that's pretty much how it goes. Yeah, he sacrifices himself for her. And then she realizes she has feelings for her. Like, she finally... It's actually frustrating. It's like she finally realizes she does like him. She wants to be with him. And then, it's too late.
Well, that's the funny thing. Because, like, so she knows that he's going to Mexico City to
for something, yeah.
He needs to have a procedure. And yeah. She's like, well, I have to have a procedure at the same time. Man, what a fucking coincidence that is, you know? And so he goes in, you know, the transplant happens, and she's like, oh, where's Bernardo? Where's Bernardo? Yeah, like everyone's lying to her because everyone finally finds out that the truth that, you know, he sacrificed his own life for her.
Yeah.
But they lie to her. They don't tell her because they think, you know, she won't be able to take it.
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay. So she's, that's how naive this girl is, right? Like, she doesn't even realize, like, she can't read the room where everyone is all kind of sad and lying to her about it. And then when she finally does realize it, she fucking is heartbroken because she was going to finally tell him that she was in love with him and she's going to break up with Javier for him.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck, man? You couldn't do that shit before the operation? Like,
well, the funny thing is, remember, she broke up with Javier in the hospital.
She was going to fucking tell him that she's in love with Bernardo. Yeah. And, you know.
That was the funny part. I was like, damn, this girl's too late.
You know, it's like... You know, typical high school love story. How many times has that happened? I mean, it's happened to me, you know, where a fucking girl decides she likes me and it's like, well, too late.
Yeah, it's like too late. Yeah, that's like the common thing with love. It's like, it's just too late, guys. You have to work faster.
Right person, wrong time.
Yeah.
You know? Been there, done that. That's happened to me plenty of times in my life. But
yeah.
Quiero ver a Bernardo. No sé por qué no ha venido a verme. Ni su abuelo.
Hola.
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 ¿Qué tal, Javier? ¿Cómo te sientes, mi amor?
Bien, gracias. ¿Podrían hacerme el favor de dejarme un momento con Javier? Tengo que decirle algo muy importante.
Claro que sí, hijita. Aurora, Eduardo, vamos.
¿Qué puede haber más importante que verte recuperada?
Te agradezco tu visita y tu regalo. Pero creo que lo que voy a decir puede hacerte sentir mal y te juro que eso es lo que menos quisiera que sucediera.
Viniendo de ti no puede lastimarme.
El tiempo que ha durado nuestro noviazgo ha sido muy bonito, pero no puede seguir. No voy a casarme contigo. No podría hacerte feliz. No te amo. Ni podré amarte nunca. Entiéndeme, por favor.
Es por él, ¿verdad?
No sé, Javier. Estoy muy confundida.
It is. That's just life.
Yeah, it sure is, man. The life of a young love, man, as they say. Yeah. It's like...
Shit hurts.
I feel like, I mean, not to get too personal, but it's like I feel like I have a connection to both of these movies, man. It's like being in love with someone that much that they don't fucking want you back until it's too late.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
you can relate to the movies for sure. Yeah, I think anybody can relate to these movies for sure.
I mean, who hasn't fucking, you know, been that obsessed or that in love with someone, like, especially at that age? Because they're talking about Bernardo going to college, so I'm assuming that they're anywhere between the 18 to 20 range.
Yeah,
18 right?
to
so
20 range.
At that age, you don't know what the fuck real love is. You know, you're just trying to, you know, give everything you have to the one person you think is going to be, you know, with you for the rest of your life. But
well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah, it's an unfortunate movie, but it's a good movie. Like, it's one of those you could totally just watch, like, on a, I don't know, lazy day or something.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean,
watch with, like, a family member or family, you know, put it on. Like, my parents, I think I've seen my parents watch it so many times on TV before, so it's one of those.
Yeah, I mean, this is a super breezy movie. It's it's an hour, 20 minutes. I mean, again, I think it'll depend on how much, I guess what level of stock a person has with Mexican movies in general, because it's I don't think the, you know, the general population is going to watch this and be like, hell yeah, that was dope. But if you're a fan of Mario Almada, or if you're a fan of Pedro Fernandez, I mean, you have a little bit of interest in this movie.
No, if I want to make a double feature, I'll double feature it with Trumping Fernandez. So it's like, watch Trumping Fernandez first, still in the mood for some Pedro Fernandez action, put on some parados. Calm down for the, you know, hey, for the evening.
You know? I mean, it's no coincidence. In both movies, he was madly in love with his girl. So, you
see,
know,
there we go. Like, yeah.
He was the protector in both movies.
Or Vacaciones de Terror. You could pair it up with one of those, if anything. Like, if you're really that, like, you know, like, ah, hey, that guy is pretty cool. It's like, hey, put Un Corazón para Dos next.
And, you know, funny enough, I saw, like, you know, I was just kind of just seeing, like, who had seen this movie, like, online and reading reviews and shit. A lot of folks were talking shit about the mullet. I'm like, dude.
Oh, dude, that mullet
was... That was a fucking chick magnet in Mexico. That's a fucking badass mullet.
Yeah, and I remember that scene where he's, like, riding the horse and the song's playing.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, that shit's epic.
The fucking wind is, like, blowing through his fucking mullet and shit. It's like...
No. Yeah, you can't hate the mullet. The mullet's cool.
Dude, the acid wash jeans. That was a style in Mexico at that time, dude. Yeah. 89, 90, that was, like...
Yeah, that was like the hunk right there. It's like,
dude, the hunk of hunks, man. It was like fucking Luis Miguel and Pedro Fernandez were like the two fucking two heartthrobs of Mexico. So,
I think they were just jealous. That's probably why they were.
All the guys hated this fool. Man, fuck this fool, stealing the hearts of our girls and shit.
I enjoy it. So I was glad to talk about it. So it's such a random movie to talk about, but it's like you have to talk about it.
I mean, look, it's. I mean, not to just talk in circles, but it's a good love story. I mean, if you're into like romantic movies, like it is what it is. You know, it's someone who loves someone so much he's willing to die for her. And again, if you're not willing to die for your girl, like do you actually love her? I don't know, man. Who am I to say? You know, I'm single, but I'll die. Fuck it. You know, I'm like Prince, baby. I'll die for you. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I would die for my girlfriend. If she's hearing, she's going to be like, you better. But yeah, you know, it's like, you do think about stuff. It's like, you have to go to great lengths to prove your love sometimes.
It you know, that's just is what it is. And then sometimes you pretend to love someone and you fucking cheat on them.
Oh, this next movie is quite the opposite.
Exactly. Yeah.
It goes in... three different directions, if anything, but it's all equally about the same topic, which is infidelity.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that these are stories that everyone can relate to. I mean, I feel like who hasn't been cheated? I've been cheated on plenty of times, you know, and I've also been the one that someone has cheated on their partner with, you know. So I'm all like on both answers, but not proud of it, you know. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's something that everyone has gone through one way or another. And that's the funny thing. When I first talked to Adolfo years ago, he told me, he's like, yeah, the topic for this movie is infidelity and it's universal. So it's relatable for everyone. And that's why I wanted to make this movie. So everyone can catch on to this movie and understand what's going on.
Yeah. And it's cool to make it like an anthology because you have like three different forms of cheating. Mm-hmm. Or like, I guess three different levels of cheating.
Yeah.
Because you have like the obsessive cheater. Mm-hmm. Who turns out to be a psycho. We'll talk about that. Then we have like the reluctant cheater who had no intention of cheating, but did cheat and
out of impulse.
Impulsive. And then you have like the I don't want to say vindictive, but like the cheater who I don't know how to describe the first story.
She was just sneaky, if anything.
Yeah, like
she was just like. She thought she could get away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she really, really fucking was convinced. But yeah. She doesn't. In some way. But yeah, so this next movie is Mujeres Infieles from 1993. So I think prior to the release in 95, it played in like film festivals. They were throwing it in film festivals. It won an award in Charleston, Texas, and then in Houston, the Houston International Film Festival.
Damn.
Which is now known as World Fest Houston. So he was playing in a festival, so Adolfo and his dad, Gilberto Martinez Solares. And the movie's inspired by Italian anthology movies from the 60s and 70s. Like, one he told me was really, like, inspiring for him was Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow from 1963. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what it is. You know, it's just three stories of infidelity. And, you know, it's a universal topic, like he said. And then he said, infidelity is hurtful and there are always consequences from it. And here we have three stories about that. And the first story... So how about this? You tell the second story, I'll tell the first story.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, let's do it like that, yeah. So the first story, it has Lina Santos, Hugo Stiglitz. Lina plays this girl named Julieta. She lives with her husband, Eduardo. He's like a... He does, like, production for commercials.
I think he's more of, like, an advertisement. Yeah, he works for, like, a modeling agency.
And a modeling agency. Yeah, there we go. He does the
maybe,
modeling.
Like, a talent acquisition type of guy or something like that.
Yeah, they do mention that he, like, that's how he met her.
That's how they met
Julieta. And then he's working on this big project for Ray-Ban. So he's kind of busy, you know, in his own little world. And then she's just, like, you know, you can tell she's comfortable. She's living in a rich life. And then every, like, other weekend, she goes to Cuernavaca to visit a cousin, quote-unquote. And then, you know, she's not meeting her cousin. She's meeting a guy.
Bueno?
¿Qué tal, Julieta? ¿Cómo estás?
¿Qué pasó, prima? ¿Qué hay de nuevo?
Nada, prima. Solo saber si vas a venir mañana, como todos los miércoles, para pasar juntas el día aquí en mi casa.
Como sabes, soy una mujer casada, así que déjame ver qué es lo que va a hacer mi marido. Permíteme, ¿sí? Oye, mi amor, ¿qué vas a hacer mañana?
¿Hablas con Leticia?
Sí, mi amor.
Salúdala de mi parte. Y me parece una buena idea que vayas mañana a Cuernavaca a tomar un poco el sol. Te veo un poco pálida.
Ah, sí. Bueno, oye, Leti, pues mañana nos vemos a las 11.
Está bien, Julieta. Aquí te espero. Chao.
Nos vemos. Bye.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, it opens up. Like, they obviously live like a posh life.
Very
so it's
posh,
like, she's, you know, I don't want to generalize, you know, but she's definitely plays the woman who is very vain and is never pleased, right? She wants more. She wants more jewelry.
That's
she
true,
wants
yeah.
a better, more money. She wants a better house or whatever. And that's kind of like the background where, you know, he works his ass off to give her everything and it's still not enough. But yeah, like you said, you know, she pretends to meet up with her cousin, but she's really meeting Miguel Angel Rodriguez.
He plays a guy named Marcelo. And Marcelo's like this, you know, hunky guy, you know. He's not as rich as her husband, but he's very, like, admiring of her. You know, he loves her a lot. He even tells her, like, just leave your husband, get with me.
Well, he had to have some kind of money because, you know, he gives her a gift. Which, ties into the story. Yeah. But, when you watch the movie, you see that. You're like, he had to have some money to buy that shit.
That was the thing. So he was supposed to get, like, a bigger job in Tijuana. I remember he's like, we can't see each other no more in Cuernavaca. I'm going to go to Tijuana and live there.
And he tries to get her to move with him.
Yeah, he's like, just leave him, come with me, you know, we'll have a real relationship. And then she's just like, oh, I can, you know, I'm really comfortable with my husband, we have kids. They never show the kids, but she does mention she has kids, yeah.
Julieta, ya llevamos 3 años viéndonos así, tenemos que hacer algo.
Marcelo, tú sabes que yo soy una mujer casada.
¿Y qué? ¿No me quieres?
Claro que te quiero. Pero tú sabes bien que tengo hijos y tengo una posición con mi marido.
Mira, te voy a decir la verdad. En este momento ordenan mi traslado a la aduana de Tijuana. Y es una oportunidad que no puedo perder.
¿Te vas a Tijuana?
El problema es que tampoco los miércoles nos vamos a poder seguir viendo.
Mi amor, te voy a extrañar mucho.
Julieta, ¿por qué no nos vamos juntos? Pídele el divorcio a tu marido. Dile que ya no lo quieres. Invéntale cualquier cosa, pero vente conmigo, ¿sí? Mira, te propongo una cosa. Vamos a casarnos.
¿Eh? Ay, Marcelo, no sé qué decirte.
Escúchame bien. Mi amor es más grande que solo verte los miércoles.
Déjame pensarlo. Es muy difícil. Entiéndeme.
Está bien. Piénsalo. Pero piénsalo pronto, porque mi traslado a Tijuana es inminente.
And then he's like, well, I guess this is goodbye, or, you know, and after that, you know, the one last time that she tries to go see him, you know, it's too late. He's already gone. He leaves her this, like, precious jewelry necklace.
Yeah, like a fucking pearl diamond.
Yeah, like, it's like all these, like, yeah.
Crazy necklace.
Yeah. Yeah, it was made by, like, a really important French jeweler or some shit like that. And, you know, she, of course, you know, she holds on to that gift, but she can't just wear it because, you know, it's like, well, where the fuck did she get the money for that? You know?
The way she tries to hide it is like the dumbest fucking thing.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah,
that's how, that just proves that she did not give a fuck about the cheating. She just wanted to get what she thought she deserved.
Yeah, because... so after that, yeah, she's a little heartbroken at first, but then she's like, oh, you know, at least he left me this. Mm. And then she's like, well, I can't, you know, obviously she can't just wear it around the house. So she hatches this idea of like, oh, you know, she pawns it and then she's going to pretend that she found the pawn ticket and then just claim it off, you know, to pay off the whatever's owed it for the jewelry. But then her husband's like, oh, no, let me do it, you know, because she tells her husband, like, oh, I found this pawn ticket. So the husband goes, he takes it out. He's like, he calls her. He's like, oh, you're not going to believe what I got. You know, it's really beautiful. I can't wait for you to have it. And then it's like right before he's shooting a commercial, if I recall. Remember, they're supposed to shoot the Ray-Ban commercial.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then
he invites her on set, like, come to the set and hang out, and I'll give you the gift. Yeah.
And then he gives her the gift, and it's not the necklace, it's earrings.
the classic, the camera zooms on her face, and she's like,
she's like, what? She's like, these are beautiful earrings. And then she's just like, what? She's just shocked. And then he looks at her too, like, what? So she wears them, they go to the set, and then he introduces her to one of the new models that he hired for the commercial. She takes off the scarf off her necklace, you know, her neck, and she's wearing the necklace that she was supposed to get from the pawn shop.
And that's when she realizes fucking Hugo Stiglitz was a two-timing motherfucker, too. She, not only was she cheating, he was cheating on her, too.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, shit.
But, it, you know, that kind of that's the classic, right? Like, the classic story of, like, you know, the way you get her is the way you'll lose her. That, that you know, it's,
that's true.
You know?
So, yeah, so she runs off. You know, she's crying. And then she bumps into the next couple that are featured from the movie.
I will say, you know, when that scene happens, I thought, hell yeah, they're going to tie in every story of this movie. But they didn't tie in the second story to the third.
Yeah, it
was which was unfortunate because the setup for the second story that I'll talk about right now, like you said, it's fucking dope because, you know, obviously Lena Sanchez's character, Julieta, runs out of this fucking building, bumps into this girl, and fucking she's like, what the fuck? And she's like, whatever. And then she meets up with... Raul Araiza's character, Ricardo, who they go to have lunch at a restaurant, which is, I guess, where they were shooting this Ray-Ban commercial or whatever the fuck. And that's where he kind of proposes to her and was like, she's like, oh my God. You know, so now they're engaged and this is the start of the second story. Which has Claudia Vega playing Clara and
Raul Araiza's Ricardo.
Yeah. Plays Ricardo, her fiance. And then it also has Rafael Rojas, who plays Alfonso, the love interest, the side piece.
Yeah.
We have a surprise guest, actress Michelle Mayer, who, you know, sexy, man.
She's pregnant.
So basically the plot of this one is, you know, they're freshly engaged. Husband buys, or fiance buys a new house. And the fiance is now fucking feeling lonely, so she ends up cheating on her with the interior decorator. But it plays out crazy, right? So, you know, as I said, you know, they just got fucking engaged. Well, this new guy, Alfonso, he apparently was like an ex-lover to her best friend and like got her pregnant or whatever. And so she's like, oh, like you're an asshole. Like you left her fucking pregnant and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, like, no, it's not like that at all. He's trying to plead his case. she's having no part of it. She's like, fuck this guy. All men are assholes. That, yeah, you know, that type of vibe. Well, it turns out she meets up with her friend. Her friend's like, no, I fucking loved him. Like, we were in love and all this shit. So she's like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, maybe he is kind of a nice guy.
¿No eres amiga de Alicia Brown? Alicia Brown.
¿La conoces?
Sí, muy bien. La conozco de pies a cabeza.
Óyeme, ¿qué insinúas?
Yo le sugiero en esos ventanales unas persianas verticales pálidas. De esas que están muy de moda en Oxford. Las pinturas sí tienen una gran variedad de colores que podríamos utilizar.
¿A poco tú eres el arquitecto ese por el que mi amiga se empastilló y terminó moribunda en un hospital?
En los baños tenemos dos opciones. Una loseta española, que quedaría muy nice, o una francesa, que quedaría muy cool.
Entonces sí, sí, ¿verdad? Tú fuiste el idiota que le embarazó.
Entonces, ¿sí nos conocemos?
No, fíjate que no. Gracias a Dios, Alicia está muy bien casada y está a punto de tener un hijo con su marido. Pero por tu culpa, por poco se muere.
No fue mi culpa. Fue culpa de su locura.
So she starts to, like, kind of build this infatuation with this fool. And, of course, like I said, he's the interior decorator to the, I guess, the apartment that her fiance bought. So, so she's seen more and more of this fool. She's starting to get infatuated. It's like, oh, okay, well... Like, there's like a scene where she's like looking out the window and she's like, well, if he turns and looks at me, then that means we're like connected, you know. Yeah. And of course he turns and looks. Yeah. but yeah, it's fucking, you know, so this kind of sets up the whole basis, right? So the story's gonna take place in this little apartment, and it turns out that it's GLaDOS's birthday. And as it happens with most adults, no one fucking gives a fuck about their birthday, right?
Or they forgot, yeah.
Yeah, so her friend's like, well, I'm busy. I can't hang out. Maybe we'll hang out next week. She's like, all right, whatever. She goes to see her parents.
Parents are busy.
And her parents are like, oh, we're going out of town.
Yeah.
Which, you know, funny enough, her dad is played by Sergio Sanchez, who was in Alimento del Miedo, so, which we talked about.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So a little fun cameo there. Yeah. But, I mean, he's, you know, he's a great actor. You know, you can go back and listen to that episode. I'm sure he'll come up in another one. But, you know, parents are like, well, we're going on vacation. You know, we forgot it was your birthday. You know, we'll fuck it. And then her fiance all of a sudden is dogging her out. So now you're like, oh, well, damn, this fool ends up, looks like he's cheating with Michelle Mayer's character. He's like going to jewelry stores with her. She keeps calling this fool his office. Oh, you know, he's at work or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, where's he at? Oh, we can't tell you. So she's already like, all right, this motherfucker's cheating on me. Like, she's pissed off. It's her birthday. No one gives a fuck. Her fiance is nowhere to be found.
Yeah. She rushes to the new apartment.
And who just happens to need to go to the apartment to find out which tiles she wants?
Oh, wait. She doesn't. Oh, no. Remember, he knocks on her door, remember? First, he knocks on her door at the, you know, where she's living at right now with her parents.
Yeah.
He knocks on the door. She spills water, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I thought you were my husband. And then that's when they start to, you know, talk. She's crying. He's like, you know, he's like, oh, it's going to be all right. He's like, don't feel bad. You're a beautiful woman. He's like, you know, hugging her. And then they kiss. And then, damn.
Of course.
Then right away, like, no hesitation. They just start undressing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. this will satisfy the pervs, you know. She gets full frontal.
She gets full frontal. Yeah. She's, like, laying on the table.
It's like a Skinamax scene. Like, it's basically a fucking a sex scene without any, you don't see any penetration. Yeah. But she's riding them. They're kissing, they're sweating, the music's playing. It's
like a loud jazz.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's like super Skinamax type of scene.
I was like, damn, okay. I was like, all right, I'm into this now.
She was, I will say this, like, I mean, I know it's, you know, generic for guys to say this all the time, but the women in this movie are drop dead gorgeous.
Oh yeah, every
like,
woman, is
every single beautiful. Woman in this fucking
even if
story.
They're just like secondary, it's like, oh no, they're still eye catching.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And I know that's by design, but, but yeah. So you know, they finally hook up. You know, she kind of wakes up in the next morning and is kind of like, fuck, like what? You know, I don't regret it, but I shouldn't have done it. You know, that type of vibe. And of course, Alfonso's like, no, it's all right, baby. Like,
yeah,
you know,
we
can be a thing. Like, I'll come every week, and you don't got to tell your man. And you know, the asshole in the situation, which you know, like I said, been there, done that. But
yeah.
She gets a phone call from her mom, like, "Hey, I think I left the stove on. Can you go downstairs and check to make sure that it's off?" She's like, "All right, I guess." So she puts on her panties. The dude puts on his boxers. And which, you know, I will say, at least the guy and the girl were both fully naked. Yeah. You know, so it's, you know.
And keep in mind, this is what's his name? This is Rafael Rojas. So.
Yeah, Rafael Rojas.
He was
Rojas.
A super hunky guy back in the day.
Oh, yeah. If you pause just enough, you can see his dick.
Yeah.
I know there's people that fucking... Yeah. That,
you can see, you know, his, and see, then you can see his behind and everything.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%.
Like, okay. It was like, yeah, he was definitely like, yeah. Yeah, he definitely got a lot of action back then.
So they put their fucking panties and their boxers on. They're all fucking laughing. He's tickling her. Yeah, they're gonna run downstairs. Yeah. And game planning how they're gonna, you know, move forward with their little love situation. She turns on the lights, and the fucking funniest shit of all time happens. It was a surprise birthday party, and her entire family and friends, the fiance, everybody, the fucking Michelle Mayer, who she thought her fiance was cheating on her with.
Oh, yeah.
She's there because they turned out to be fucking friends. And of course, you know, she's all like, "Oh my God," the fucking lights are on. They're both naked. Fucking everyone's pissed. And then, of course, the husband tries to, you know.
Yeah, he's like calling her a whore. He's like, "You're a puta."
And he fucking swings, you know, tries to beat this fool Alfonso up, and gets thrown out the fucking window and fucking falls to the ground and dies, dude.
Yeah, but we don't see it. What we see is them coming out of the window, and then we see a splash in the pool, which transitions into the next story. And this last story, this is the one that gets fucking crazy. It's like they literally saved the best one for last. They were just like itching. They were like, "Yeah, we're going to save this crazy fucking one for last."
When I was reading online, I saw people did not like this third one, which was crazy to me because this...
The
third one was, it goes fucking crazy.
It goes crazy. It goes into really, really, really crazy directions. So, yeah. So, from a crash to the window to a splash in the pool, we now meet Elizabeth Katz's character, Mariana, and then she's swimming with her friend. I didn't get her friend's name, but her friend was fucking beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she said her friend's name.
I don't think she ever did. Yeah. I'm not sure, but she was really beautiful. I was like, "Oh, wow, this girl."
They had a weird dynamic, though, because she was obviously younger.
Yeah, Elizabeth Katz is obviously a little older, yeah. And then this chick's a little younger looking, for sure. She's probably like in her 20s. Katz is like 30s, 40s.
And then she's like encouraging her to cheat and shit. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah, typical women, you know, she's saying, like, you know, Mariana's just like, yeah, you know, she's just bored, you know, with her husband. She's tired of the repetition. It's like she tends to her daughter. Her husband's just out drinking, doesn't come back, doesn't please her. So she's like, yeah, I'm bored, you know, I want something more. And then she's like, oh, why don't you put up an ad? You know, it's like a personal ad. And she's like, I don't know. Like, she's like hesitant at first, but then she ends up doing it. And then someone writes her back.
Well, no, it's the opposite. Her friend, she goes looking for...
Oh, that's
her
right,
friend
yeah.
tells her,
right,
yeah. "Why don't you go look for love on
yeah,
one
there
of these
we go.
Things?"
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
She's
yeah.
like, "Okay, I guess I'll check
yeah,
out."
She finds one guy, and one guy sounds pretty attentive.
¿Sabías que 8 de cada 10 matrimonios están divorciando antes de cumplir los 10 años de casados? ¿Y tú, cuántos llevas? 10. Ta-ta-ta-tan. No, yo soy muy conservadora. Creo que me voy a morir con Rafael a mi lado. Nunca me voy a divorciar de él.
Pero entonces, ¿cuál es el problema?
Ya sabes, la rutina. El deber ser, la niña en la escuela, hacer el amor los sábados cuando él ya se emborrachó con sus cuates. Y así es cada semana, de cada mes, de todos los años de mi vida.
Bueno, pero Rafael no es un mal tipo. Te da todo lo que necesitas, es un buen padre y además no está encima de ti.
Bueno, ¿y de qué me sirve eso si yo soy una miedosa que no me atrevo a hacer nada? No, no me da pánico que me cache.
Te entiendo, tú eres como yo. Nosotras no queremos un acostón. Lo que buscamos es un romance.
Sí, eso es. Un enamoramiento. Algo que me despierte y que me haga sentir viva siquiera.
Pero ten cuidado, cuando el tipo sabe quién eres, es peligroso. Entonces tu marido empieza a sospechar. Yo creo que lo ideal sería que fuera un desconocido.
¿Un desconocido? ¿Y entonces cómo lo voy a conocer?
¿Con tu imaginación?
Casi me convences, ¿eh?
Lo voy a pensar.
And yeah, they get in contact and his name's Armando. Not really.
I was about to say the parallels are there, man.
I know. I was like, oh, no. No, I'm not that crazy. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you know, he like starts to, you know, they start talking on the phone. You know, they're both interested. And yeah, they meet up at a restaurant. She wears like a weird hat, remember, with the feather?
Yeah, like there's like a, she's like, well, it's like a, you know, obviously it's a blind date. So he's like, how am I going to find you? He's like, oh, I'll be wearing a black dress and a hat. And
with the feather on it. I'm like, what the fuck?
But it's interesting because she, you know, while she wants it, she also kind of, you know, realizes like, oh, what I'm doing is wrong. So she decides she wants to leave. But as she's getting up to leave, the dude shows up.
Yeah.
And so it's hesitant. Like the point of no return. She's either going to walk away from this.
Yeah.
Or she's going to stay and see what, you know, what the fuss is about.
Yeah.
And,
so she meets Armando, who's played by Enrique Rocha. And if you guys don't know who Enrique Rocha is, he played the devil in Satanico Pandemonium.
Oh, yeah.
Another Gilberto Martinez production right there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, they start talking and, yeah, they end up like, yeah, actually getting into each other. They're very, you know.
Well, he's super intense.
Yeah, and he's, like, very, you know, like, romantic with her. He touches her hands. She's, like, yeah, she just feels, like, that love that she's been desiring.
She feels seen. She feels wanted.
She feels wanted, yeah. And, yeah, they keep up with it, and then they hook up. But then at the same time, you know, she's hesitant. She doesn't want to tell her the truth. He's, like, oh, no, that she's married.
And she tells him that she lives in Monterrey or something.
Yeah, that she's divorced and that, you know, she doesn't live there. She's just visiting.
She's visiting her mom.
Yeah, something like that. Her grandma forgot. And then, yeah, it intensifies. You know, he wants a relationship with her. He's like, you know, I want to be with you. You know, I love you, you know. She's just like, no, you know, I live over there.
Con esta ya son cuatro las veces que lo he visto. Es un hombre increíble. Me ha hecho sentir muy mujer. Todos cuando me ven me preguntan que qué me he hecho, que me veo tan bien. He vuelto a tener luz en la mirada. Claro que yo sé que todo esto ha sido una locura, que todo ha sido muy rápido, pero cada vez que nos vemos hacemos el amor y a veces siento que conozco a Armando desde hace mucho tiempo. Es como si estuviera en un profundo y maravilloso sueño.
And, you know, eventually he catches on. Like, it turns out he's pretty fucking crazy. So that's the funny part, too, is, like, he mentions that, yeah, he's separated from his wife, his kids. They like, said that he's crazy, so they had to run away from him.
And he had to spend a year in the mental hospital.
Yeah, like, he was trying to say that, oh, you know, they just pinned this on me. They're just trying to get, you know, get away from me. But, no, this guy's actually fucking crazy.
I find it interesting, though, because there's a scene where she's on the phone with this fool, and she's trying to get him off the phone, and because she's going to pick up her daughter.
Oh.
And her daughter's like, Mom, let me in the car. And she's like, I can't. Like, I'm on the phone. And the daughter's like, you know, what the fuck's going on? And, you know, throughout this whole, you know, part of the movie, this whole story, like, the daughter is super suspicious of the mom. Like, it's like her intuition is already built up. And she's like, nah, something's fucking weird with my mom. What's going on? But
yeah, that was another thing, too. Yeah. And then, yeah, he eventually, finds her. He's like, you know, I don't know what he does, but he finds out that, where she lives, he goes to the house. Because apparently they're selling their house. Then the husband's selling the house. And then he's like, oh, we have a buyer coming later. He's like, okay. And then it turns out it's Armando.
Shows up in like a fucking black trench coat.
Yeah, he's like pretending he wants to buy the house. And then he's like complimenting the kid and the wife. Like, oh, you have a beautiful family. And then that's when he's like,
meanwhile, Mariana's like, oh my God.
And then he's like telling her, he's like, oh, like, you know, this is like, show me your bedroom. Like, he's just being really fucking intense and scary. And then after that, he just starts, like, being stalkerish. Like, remember when she's picking up her daughter? He sees her, you know, she sees him on the street.
She kicks him out of the house. Like, all right, get the fuck. You've seen the house. Get the fuck out. Like, the jig is up. We both know. I was lying. We're cheating. But he can't accept it, man. He's fuck that. Yeah. If I can't have you, no one will.
So he stalks her. He starts, like, beeping the horn on the car outside at night, like, bothering them.
The husband's like, I'm going to fucking kill this motherfucker. The husband doesn't know.
Yeah, he doesn't know yet. Yeah.
Which kind of points to why she was, you know, unhappy in her marriage. Because he was aloof the whole time. Like, obviously, like, she takes the fucking tour away from him and shit. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, you know, how obvious is it that she knows this already? But he, like, pulls out the strap and, like, I'm going to fucking blast this wall.
And then after that, it just gets more crazy. Because then he gets into the house. He kills the maid. He ties up the husband. He's about to kill the husband.
I'm gonna force you to watch me kill this motherfucker.
Yeah, luckily the kid was away, because remember after that, that's when I think she reveals it to him, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she reveals it to him about the affair. but then it's too late, you know. It's like, all right, he's in
there. Well, I mean, it's because, you know, like you said, he tied him up and he's like, he fucking, or well, he actually blasts this fool a couple of times. Like, he shoots him like 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
And you think that the husband, what was his name, Rafael, is going to die. But, you know, strangely, he survives. Of course, the fucking Mariana kills that fool.
Yeah. So it ends, you know, with the stalker dying, but then, you know. She feels bad. She's apologizing to her husband. He's like, no, you know, it's over.
Rafael, déjame explicarte.
¿Por qué me hiciste esto a mí? ¿Eh? ¿No habíamos hablado? ¿Eh? ¿No estábamos de acuerdo en todo? ¿Por qué? ¿No te he dado todo? ¿Eh?
Sí.
¿Por qué me fallaste? ¿Lo disfrutaste? ¿Cuánto duró, ma? ¿Un mes? ¿Dos meses? ¿Tres meses? Ahora lo entiendo todo, el coche, el tipo que viene a comprarme la casa, y yo aquí tienes a tu imbécil, ¿no?, para servirte, ¿no? ¿Te parece muy chistoso? ¿Eh? O dime, ¿en qué te fallé yo? ¿Eh? ¿No te gustaba cómo te hacía el amor, cabrona? ¿No te gustaba? ¿Eh? ¿En qué te fallé? ¡Me lo hubieras dicho antes! ¿Me entiendes? ¡Ya lo rompiste todo! ¡Lo rompiste todo! ¿Eh?
¿Qué pasó? Nada,
mi amor, no pasa nada, ¿no?
¿Qué pasó?
Rafael. Rafael, necesito hablar contigo, por favor.
Arregla tus cosas y me la llevas con la tía Lucy. Yo voy a empacar.
Está bien. Pero no te vayas hasta que yo regrese. Espérame.
I will say, though, I'm glad that the husband stood up for himself in that situation, because I thought this was going to be like, it's all right, I'll take you back.
Yeah, but no,
he stood his ground. We're fucking done.
Like, after everything, and he literally walks away from
him. Oh, yeah.
And then, that's how the movie ends. It's like, damn. All these three women did not get away with anything.
None of it. They all got caught.
They all got caught.
I mean, I guess you could say it's kind of sexist that Hugo Stiglitz character ends up with a new chick, and it's like, well, why does the girl get the punishment? And then the fucking
for sure.
The second story, same thing. You know, it's like, all right, well.
But overall, like I said, they all got caught up with what they were doing, you know, which was wrong and to begin with, you know.
You know, it's
it's unfortunate, you know.
Don't be in a relationship if you want to cheat, man. It's not that hard, but
exactly.
I guess, you know, sometimes people, you know, cheat for whatever reasons they feel are justified, and it is what it is. Like I said, everyone's been there, either been cheated on, been the person who's cheating on with the cheater. Been the person being heartbroken, like, you know, we all go through the shit, it's not an unusual story or a singular story, you know, we all know the pain of it.
If you were to watch this movie, even without subtitles, you would understand right away what's going on immediately.
Oh yeah, 1000%.
Yeah, so, you know, if you have Picardia Nacional, like a subscription, watch it on there. It's on HD.
We didn't talk about it, but, you know, this movie was written, directed by, you know, the pair of Adolfo and his dad, Gilberto Martinez Solares. Now, I'm assuming that they both were shooting at the same time.
Kind of like how they did with Albeniles.
Yeah, exactly. They would separate. You get this unit, I'll take this unit, and we'll fucking... Because I've always seen Adolfo as, like, the one who was probably, more comedic of the two. I'm assuming he wrote the second story,
that
right?
That was totally him for sure.
Yeah, this has his DNA written all over it.
The third and the first, I feel like it was probably Gilberto, if anything.
Yeah, I think they were more, it's like the tension and the drama was more in the first and the third story than the second story.
Yeah, because I know they both wrote it, but for sure, you know, I think Gilberto's hand was more on this one.
And who was Miguel Johnson?
That I don't know.
I was like, that's for one, they spelled the name Johnson backwards, like J-H-O.
Yeah, I never knew who that was. Yeah, it must have been just someone like that they met or something.
It was like story by, so I'm assuming this person was just
probably just having them, like, maybe wrote the script for them,
like a spec script, and then they completely revamped it or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But this was all an idea by Adolfo. Like, even when he told me, he's like, yeah. And I was like, you made more than one, right? Because there's like 5 or 6 of them. He's like, yeah, there's 6 of them.
Oh, shit. Is there really?
With one being like a different title, but it's part of the series.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I got to.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of them. Yeah.
I got to.
So if you go on Picardia Nacional, you type Mujeres Infieles, you're going to get 1, 2, 3. The fourth one's a different title, and then you get the other ones.
Hey, you know.
Yeah, so if you want more, it's like, yeah, there's more than one.
I mean, it's, you know, I could see how some people would think, you know, this movie is sexist, you know, problematic in that sense.
Yeah,
but,
by today's standards, yeah.
Yeah, of course, but it's, you know, very...
it's still a really interesting movie. Like, it's very entertaining. Like, I was just like, wow.
It breezes by. Each story is about 25 minutes. I think the last one is more like 40 minutes.
Yeah, that one's a little bit longer,
But, yeah, I mean, they're fucking... The stories, they're fucking dope, man. Yeah. Like, the all-star cast. I mean, you have Hugo Stiglitz, Lina Santos, Miguel Angel Rodriguez, Claudia Vega.
Jose Alonso,
Michelle Mayer, Sergio Sanchez. You have Raul Araiza, Enrique Rocha. I mean, like, crazy, crazy lineup. Yeah. And they all fucking, you know, bring these stories to life in a way that are very relatable to some. But... Yeah. You know, it's the month of love, man, and you know, some of us only know pain, you know. Yeah. Speaking for myself, but
yeah. So yeah, this is a good one to watch on Valentine's Day. It's like, hey, you want to watch something a little bit more rated R, put this on.
Steamy, man.
Or sexy, or you know, if you're feeling, you know, it's like, just, you know, kinda calm down, chill. Just put on Corazón para dos. I'm gonna see what my girlfriend will want to watch. I'll be like, "You want to watch one of these two?"
She'll probably she's gonna be like, "Who's that bitch in this story? I know you got a girl that was like that."
Nah, she'll probably just be like, "Yeah, maybe," and then she'll just be like, "Nah, let's just hang out."
She's gonna hit you with a side eye for.
Yeah, she'll hit me.
What are you trying to tell me? Which one of these stories is happening right now?
Yeah.
But you know, it's we wanted to keep it a little lighthearted this month. It's just, you know, a story of love and a story of heartbreak.
Yeah, so it was perfect, like I said, and we picked two really good ones, I think, especially with the Mujeres Infieles. That was like a great one. I think that's one that's gonna catch eyes for sure.
That'll be the one that I think, if anyone, you know, I'm assuming we'll link the movies again, but
yeah,
if anyone does end up watching these movies, I think that's gonna be the one that people like more than Un Corazón Para Dos, because that one, like I said, that one obviously feels more like a TV movie, which it is. You know, it was produced with the Televisa shit, but it's like, that one is just kind of a generic love story, and I think you get more bang for your buck in the second movie.
Oh yeah,
with the cast, the stories, it's just you know, salacious at best.
Yeah,
you know?
If you like Satanico Pandemonium, you like Enrique Rocha. Plays a cycle here.
Yes. Yeah.
I think worse than the devil.
I mean, some would say, man. You know, some would say there's nothing worse than a cheater.
And it's, yeah.
Like, and he was more than a cheater. He was a cheater. He was an obsessive psycho fucking.
Yeah. With a very familiar name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. I saw that. I was like, yeah, hell yeah.
I was like, man. But yeah. So what do we got planned next?
Yeah. Next month, we're going to. We have our, you know, an annual theme that I want to keep going every International Women's Month. You know, we're going to highlight a couple women of the trash mix world that I think, you know, they deserve a little bit more shine. You know, sometimes, you know, they can kind of get pushed aside or whatever, but, you know, bring them to the forefront. So we're going to, you know, we have a confirmed guest for that. So, you know, there's going to be three of us. We're going to have three different stories and three different women that we're going to be talking about. Yeah, of different eras, actually.
Yeah, different eras, different actresses. The movies are pretty unique, too.
Oh, yeah.
The choices are pretty unique.
Yeah, they spread across different decades, different genres, and different, you know, altogether different stories. But... you know, 2026 is already looking like a big year for us, man. You know,
Yeah.
We're lining up, hopefully, some more guests. You know, we got some ideas. You know, we got some other side quest stuff that's happening that we won't spoil. But you know, once it gets announced, you know, obviously we'll announce it as well. And yeah, man, just hopefully people are digging it. You know, we're trying to give everyone a little taste of everything of Mexico, you know? Not just the horror shit, not just the action shit, you know, everything.
Yeah, everything. Because that's always been the goal. It's like, just spread awareness of Mexican cinema as a whole. The good stuff, the bad stuff, the unknown stuff, or the stuff that never really got like a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Or in our case, with our special project. Something that nobody knew about.
Yeah, exactly. No one was talking about it. So.
Exactly. So,
yeah. You know, as usual, you know, like, follow, subscribe, rate, fucking leave a comment, leave a review.
Share.
Tell your tia.
Always look at the show notes. Like I said, that's where you get to watch the movie sometimes.
You know, I find it interesting. I think that kind of proves that, you know, sometimes people don't actually listen. I've had so many people like, hey, where can I watch this movie? Well, it's in the show notes, man. We've said it every single time. It's in the show notes.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Look
at our show notes. Yeah. Always look at the show notes. Don't skip it.
Yeah, don't skip, man. The show notes will have everything linked.
And I try to keep it short, too. Like, that way it's not like a long read. It's like, it's enough for you to, like, breeze through.
Yeah, just an idea.
Yeah, you know? I didn't use AI to make a whole paragraph or anything.
A six paragraph description of what the show is going
to
be about.
Yeah, unless you want me to do that. I can do that.
Well, as always, we appreciate you guys. Kept it light and easy for this one. So hopefully you guys will seek out these movies and enjoy it. And
Yeah, let us know. Like I said, if you guys are watching them, let us know. Message us. Just tell us.
Yeah. Just don't be a hater, you know. We don't want the haters coming out. But
we're fine.
All right, guys. I guess we'll talk to you guys next month.
See you soon.
Peace.
Próximamente estrenaremos.
María, ve a la oficina de la jefa. Tiene algo que decirte. ¿Me mandó a llamar?
¿Quieres una copa?
No, gracias, yo no tomo.
Vas a necesitar dinero para ver crecer a tu hijo. Sé que tu madre trabaja, pero no le alcanza el dinero.
Mi madre sabrá qué hacer.
¿De veras no quieres una copa?
Ya le dije que no tomo.
Llegará el día en que tendrás que hacerlo. ¿Por gusto o por necesidad?
No le entiendo.
Mira, María, la mayoría de todas, cuando salen del penal, se dedican a la golfería. Y tú no serás una excepción, ¿verdad, María?
Pero yo tengo una carrera y soy maestra y volveré a ejercer.
¿Y tú crees que el magisterio va a aceptar a una exconvicta de maestra? No seas tonta, muchacha. Yo puedo ayudarte. Necesitarás dinero para tu hijo y yo puedo proporcionártelo.
Pues pierde su tiempo porque yo no soy de esas.
Escucha, María. Vas a pasar muchos años aquí y yo puedo hacer que el penal sea un infierno para ti. O la pases bien. Tú decides, linda. Y espero que tu decisión sea pronto, porque soy muy impaciente. Puedes retirarte.